You don't need me to tell you that everything's getting more expensive. You just need to look at your bills, your bank account. New polling from the Australian Council of Trade Unions, the ACTU, highlights just how grave the situation is for some, with one in four Australians skipping meals due to cost of living increases, and more than half have cut back on essential items. Sally McManus is the ACTU Secretary, and she's our guest this morning. Sally, welcome.
G'day, PK. Great to be here.
The rising cost of living many Australians are facing isn't going away anytime soon. That's what we've been told. The government didn't offer any targeted support during the budget. It said that it would be inflationary. Do you think that should change in the wake of these results?
Well, we also had inflation figures come out yesterday. And so, I mean, some people were surprised, which is good. And they're coming down a bit. So hopefully the view of some optimists that have been, some economists, that it's a spike and is going to continue to come down next year is going to prevail. But we don't know if that's the case. So certainly the issue of being able to support people at this time is a critical one. And there's, you know, relief for people that have got childcare expenses and medicines. But, you know, more's got to be done. Like, you've got to address the underlying issue. And that's the fact that wages, even if it was normal times, they're, you know, the wage increases at the moment are low, and it's not normal times. There's inflation pressures and there's really low unemployment. So, you know, hopefully today that this new law will pass our parliament, and it will give workers a better go at being able to negotiate pay rises that are going to mean not just when we're in an inflation spike, but all the time that your wages will keep up with the cost of living.
Australia's inflation rate has eased from 7.3% in September to 6.9% in October. You just alluded to that it seems to be, you know, coming down a little. Are you hopeful then that we've reached the peak?
Yeah, I mean, that would be fantastic if that's the case. Obviously, workers in particular and those who are unemployed and pensioners have really been the ones who've borne the brunt of this inflation spike. Their wages have not contributed to it, and they're the ones who've had to really pay the price, obviously, with, you know, all the essentials going up. You've got no extras if you're a normally paid worker or a low paid worker or no income in Australia. So it's been really us who've borne the brunt. So if we go into next year and inflation continues to track down, that'll be a good thing. But also, it'll be very optimistic too if we've got these new laws, because it essentially will mean that workers will have better tools to try and negotiate fair pay rises.
Now, you mentioned the industrial relations legislation. Obviously, the government has now done this deal with Senator Pocock, which means even though it hasn't officially passed, it is poised to pass the parliament based on what he says he will do. Tell me, how soon do you believe that workers will see a wage increase?
Well, one of the big things that has unfortunately happened over the last 2 years is that a whole lot of workers agreed to put on hold negotiations for collective agreements, enterprise agreements during the pandemic. And then, you know, the people put everything on the line during the pandemic, came out the other side, and a whole lot of employers, and we're talking about thousands and thousands and thousands of agreements, said, no, you know what, we're not going to negotiate anymore. So we've got a very large number of what's called expired agreements, which basically means, you know, it's a long time since you've seen a pay rise, because the employers are just refusing to negotiate, you know, pay rises. So I think that will be the immediate impact, that employers who have expired agreements, there'll be an incentive for them to start bargaining, and that's for a few reasons. First of all, employers that have an enterprise agreement won't be subjected to multi-employer bargaining, and they seem to be pretty whipped up about that. So, you know, one sure way to make sure that you're not part of multi-employer bargaining is to negotiate an enterprise agreement, then you're excluded from it. Also, the laws give the independent umpire, the Fair Work Commission, the ability, if negotiations go on for too long — actually, the amendments negotiated with Senator Pocock are 9 months — that the Fair Work Commission can bring negotiations to a close and make a decision on those things people haven't been able to agree on. So a lot of employers, I'd imagine, and also workers too, will say, well, hey, how about we sort this out ourselves rather than have the Fair Work Commission make that decision? Or maybe they might say, listen, yeah, let the Fair Work Commission make that decision. So those are big sort of, you know, incentives really for employers to get going with bargaining. So that will happen immediately if these laws pass. So we're optimistic. Michaela Cash, you know, talked until 11 p.m. last night, and I don't know, maybe she's going to try and talk for as long as possible today too. And you know, hopefully the laws do pass today because working people certainly need them.
Okay, so there's a few claims that have been made about the laws. Isn't it inevitable, Sally McManus, that there will be more strike action as a result, just because the laws allow more strike action to be possible, like that the laws actually enable that?
So there's a psychology of bargaining, right? So if you're sitting down and you're bargaining with someone and the other side knows that you've just got no options, well, you tend to get offered a pretty bad deal. If they know that you do have options, you tend to get offered a better deal. So this idea that just because there'd be more or better options to be able to take industrial action, well, actually quite difficult options, you know, really, you've got to jump a lot of hoops, changes the bargaining table dynamics more than it probably would the outcome of strike action. And the other thing is that these laws are actually different. They're going to impose on workers, if you wanted to take industrial action, a mandatory period of conciliation before the Industrial Commission, and also the ability, as I said before, for the Fair Work Commission to bring it all to a halt and to arbitrate. So, you know, there's no evidence in other countries where there's multi-employer bargaining of high rates of industrial action. You know, it would be just the employers do know that the people they're negotiating with actually have an option if they just keep saying no all the time. So, you know, we'll see what happens. I don't expect there'll be a huge rise in industrial action at all. I do think that there'll be a rise in pay rises, though.
And will there be a rise in union membership?
Well, I mean, that's up to the working people of Australia,
yeah, but
really.
But does this incentivise people to become union members, and is that your intention?
Well, we always would like to see more people join unions, regardless of this law or another law.
But does this law, that's my question, right, does the law make it more appealing to be a union member, to join in this kind of action? And will you, you know, this word is probably inflammatory, I don't mean it to be that, but will you exploit that or try to use that to recruit?
Well, there's nothing in this law, unfortunately, that make it any easier for unions to be able to recruit people into unions. Other countries, most other countries, except that it's not viable for their union movements to be negotiating agreements and things like we do, the minimum wage every year, and to, you know, have no support for that. That's what we do all the time. Of course, your point, though, about whether joining a union is going to make a difference to getting pay rises, well, absolutely it will. I mean, people who are union members get paid better. Collective bargaining is more effective if more people are a member of a union. So I guess this will be a question for the Australian working population, and that, of course, I would always encourage them to join.
The opposition is pursuing the government to confirm whether or not the industrial relations overhaul will result in higher prices for consumers. Is that inevitable, that if you're paying higher wages, you're going to pass it on to consumers?
It's a bit of a joke, really, talking about higher prices for consumers at the moment, where there is higher prices for consumers at a time when profits are up and wages are down. So, you know, that's exactly what we're seeing at the moment. I tell you what will really tank the economy is people continuing to have to cut back on spending, because that spending would be going to local businesses quite often, your small local businesses. And when people don't get pay rises and they have to cut back, that's the first thing, as we can see, is happening. So, you know, all we want is pay rises that do keep up in the long term, and people being, you know, fairly compensated for what, you know, they've contributed to the success of an organisation, so the productivity increases. And we've not been seeing any of that for 10 years.
And should there be a public holiday today on the basis that the Socceroos have beaten Denmark?
Absolutely. There should be a public holiday today. There should. And any boss would be a mug if they sacked anyone for turning up a little bit late today, given that a lot of us had to wake up very early.
Including you?
Including me, yes.
Thank you, Sally McManus. Appreciate your time.
Thank you.
ACTU Secretary Sally McManus there, and you're listening to ABC RN Breakfast.
Find more great ABC RN stories that take you beyond the headlines on the ABC Listen app.